Here's another one of the statements of faith or affirmations of faith that we use here at Daleville Christian Church, and this one from 2 Thessalonians in the second chapter. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. This we affirm as our faith at Daleville Christian Church. Today's God's Word is from John's Gospel in the 14th chapter, the 5th through 11th verses. And this is a setting at the Last Supper, Jesus and the disciples around the table. And Thomas said to Jesus, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" And Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. This continues a new series here at Daleville Christian Church entitled God's Love Beyond Belief. And I've titled this series because it is true. God's love is so amazing, so deep, so high, so wide, it is beyond our ability to believe it. The apostle himself prays that we grasp the concept of God's love for us. But he calls this knowledge beyond knowing. So what's the preacher supposed to do? Well, I'll do the only thing I can do. I will talk about God's love for you and me. I spoke on Father's Day about how the Heavenly Father has wanted us as his children. I reminded everyone then that just being born does not make you a child of God. Some people believe that simply being born makes you a child of God, but that isn't what the Bible says. Jesus said we need to be born again. And I'll be referring to that statement of Jesus more in a moment. Although that's not really my point, I didn't want you to miss that point. God wants us as his children. God is adopting us as his children. Adoption is mentioned only 5 times in the New Testament. They're important, and in a moment I'll tell you why those 5 mentions of adoption are important. But 2 things are very clear in adoption. When a parent adopts a child, you have to want to have children. And you have to want that particular child. Adoption is clearly a case where the parent wants a child and a parent wants a particular child. And here's why those 5 verses in the New Testament of the Bible are important. There are only 5 references to adoption in the New Testament, and all of them are about God adopting you. These 5 verses in the New Testament that refer to adoption are about God adopting you. Your God is an adopting dad, and you are his child. And what is true of adopting dads is true about our God. God wants to be a dad, and God wants to be your dad. God is adopting you as his child because God wants you as his child. This is what the Bible says, and Romans 8 states clearly that you have to have Jesus Christ in order to be adopted Jesus came to make you God's child, but you have to receive Jesus in order to be adopted. God is Father, and those who receive Jesus are adopted children of God the Father. And so we get to the point of the whole sermon, which is that the Heavenly Father loves you. The Heavenly Father loves the child he is adopting. The Heavenly Father values the child he is adopting. Some people believe that God is mad at them. One preacher said, God is not mad at you, our God is mad about you. Our God is not mad at you, our God is mad about you. Our Heavenly Father is mad about you. Our Heavenly Father's love is that great. Jesus had a conversation with a guy, we'll call him Nick. Chapter 3 of John's Gospel. We might want to notice that Nick was a teacher of God's Word, and Jesus said to Nick, you're a teacher, said Jesus, and you do not understand these things? And then Jesus laid it out for Nick. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let me ask, were you one of those kids that liked to diagram sentences in school? Well, neither was I. But I was fascinated by diagramming sentences. I thought, wow, you can almost make our language make sense. I couldn't make sense of it, but I was glad someone could, and I was weird that way in school. But if we were diagramming this sentence of Jesus, we would get the person and the action that the person is doing. The person is God, and God's action is love. Jesus told Nick, God loves. The Heavenly Father loves. Then Jesus goes on to say, God loves so much that he gave his own Son. The Heavenly Father only has one flesh and blood Son, so to speak. But Jesus, his Father, gave up his flesh and blood Son to death in order to adopt us. Why would the Heavenly Father do that? The Heavenly Father did that because the Heavenly Father wanted to do that. The Heavenly Father did that out of sheer love. Remember, the Heavenly Father wanted to adopt a child, and the Heavenly Father wanted a particular child, you. Make sense? It doesn't make sense to me. I believe it. But really, it is beyond belief. Now, adopted children don't have a lot to worry about. The Heavenly Father made the decision because the Heavenly Father wanted to. The Heavenly Father can't be won over in order that he adopt us. The Heavenly Father made the decision already. The Heavenly Father's love can't be won. The love is already there. In Jesus' words, God loves. God is forever. God's love is forever. Author Max Lucado put it this way, since you can't win the Heavenly Father's love, we can't lose the Heavenly Father's love. Since we can't win the Heavenly Father's love, we can't lose the Heavenly Father's love. We may step out of the Heavenly Father's will, but we can never step outside the Heavenly Father's love. We can step outside the Heavenly Father's will, but we can never step outside the Heavenly Father's love. Mark it down. Remember it. God loves you, and the Heavenly Father proved it. Jesus said it, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. The Heavenly Father so loved us that he gave himself up for us in Jesus. Last week I talked about how screwed up the world is, that we really shouldn't have to argue about that. The world is messed up and everybody knows that. And it's even worse than we think. It's such a mess that we can't straighten it out. Not only is that clear to many of us, but it was even clearer to our Heavenly Father. The world is such a mess that only he, the Heavenly Father, can fix things. The Heavenly Father planned to fix things by coming himself to the earth teaching us, walking among us, healing us, bringing the kingdom to us, and opening the door for us by his death and resurrection in Jesus. The Heavenly Father planned to fix things by coming himself to the earth, teaching us, walking among us, healing us, bringing the kingdom to us, and opening the door for us by his death and resurrection in Jesus. Now, in John's 14th chapter, these words of Jesus were said at the Last Supper. Bible commentator William Barclay has said these words of Jesus in the ancient world would have been the most staggering words that Jesus ever spoke. The Greeks never expected or thought they could see God as himself. The gods lived on Mount Olympus. Men did not go there. The Jews taught that no one had seen God. But Jesus says that if anyone has seen me, they have seen the Heavenly Father. Jesus further said, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Words that would have staggered the ancients. We so often forget that Jesus was really into symbolism or signs. You know, breaking bread is a symbol or a sign of a broken body. Wine is a symbol of blood. The resurrection of Lazarus would be a sign pointing to Jesus' own resurrection. And so here Jesus makes an even more radical statement. Jesus isn't just an imitation of God. Jesus is God. That is the unbelievable love of God. God came to us. God would die just as we die. God is not holding himself back from his creation. God is going to demonstrate the fullness of God's love, the death of God's Son, Jesus. A poet wrote of Jesus' coming to earth this way. They were all looking for a king. They were all looking for a king to slay their foes and lift them high. But Lord, you came, a little baby thing, and made a woman cry. The Heavenly Father has come to us. Our Heavenly Father is not up there somewhere. He came. Our Heavenly Father isn't taking us away from all this. Our Heavenly Father is joining us and redeeming us in this life, bringing us life. These words of Jesus were astounding in their day, and really, when we think about them, they're astounding to us. How many people are prepared to believe in this God, to believe in this love that seems beyond belief? It's so easy to believe in other gods, and many Christians do. Many Christians believe in a God who can't wait to condemn them. Christians believe that, God can't wait to condemn them. Many Christians believe in a God who opposes them and expects them to straighten up and fly right before even hearing them speak to him. Many Christians believe in a God who is up there, away, somewhere. Many Christians believe in a God who helps those who help themselves. We believe in a God who helps the helpless, people who can't help themselves. It's hard for us to believe in a God who dies for us so we can live. It's hard for us to believe in a God who chose the cross in order to save us. Hard for us to believe in a God who chose to come to us instead of waiting for us to come to him. I remember reading the words of a man who was tortured in his own thoughts. He was in a mental institution. He said in one moment he saw God sitting and patiently waiting for him. God simply waiting for that sick man to look to God and reach out to God. But God was there in that mental institution. God was already there. God had come to the sick man in and through Jesus Christ. It's hard for us to believe in a Heavenly Father who sacrificed his own son so that he could adopt us as his children. It is God's love that is beyond belief. I want to finish with a prayer that Max Lucado has written. You may say it with me. You may repeat it when I'm finished. And it simply says, Heavenly Father, I believe you love me. You gave your one and only Son so I can live forever with you. Apart from you, I die. With you, I live. I choose life. I choose you. In Jesus' name, amen.